Blog Talk Radio.
Have a show of hands who's going to share a special next week.
Thank you, Lord.
Gavin, come and share a song. You know, I appreciate this guy because he's ready to volunteer whenever. Okay, she's going to give you. another one of my favorite songs. I enjoyed it. Was it last year we sang that at for the Christmas concert? Yeah. Okay, Gabe, we need you. Turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 7 through 12. It says that she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So throughout this Advent season, we've been looking at the reality of, behold, your King. Not just behold your King, but behold, this is your King. And we've kind of taken it apart in four different directions. We began the Advent season by going out to meet him. The second week we talked about going forth, bringing Christ and bringing the Word of God into the world. Last week we looked at the preparation for the King and about going deep. It says, get rid of the debris and of the rocks out of the highway so that there might be that encounter with Jesus and his people. And today I want to look at going low. Maybe it sounds like a contradictory term for Christmas, which is supposed to be like, I guess, up. But I think we can be up about going low. And it's really about making room for Jesus. When he was confronted by his critics that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John was, John responded with this statement, he must increase, I must decrease. John knew how to go low. Hannah Hernard, who has written several books, some of you may have read them, Mountain of Spices and Hinds Feet to the High Places, etc. But she wrote this neat little poem she calls The Water Song. Come, oh come, let us away lower, lower every day. Oh, what joy it is to race down to find the lowest place. This is the dearest law we know. It is happy to go low. Sweetest urge and sweetest will, let us go down lower still. Hear the summons, night and day, calling us to come away. From the heights we leap and flow to the valleys down below, always answering the call to the lowest place of all. Sweetest urge and sweetest pain, to go low, then rise again. I guess we're all fairly glad that the water doesn't stay on the mountain, but it seeks out the low place in the valleys where we can get our hands on it. So we want to continue this. Behold your King. Let's see if I know how to do this. Maybe. If you were looking for a manger, it's over on this side. You can come and see it. But I want to look at this. Behold, your King. When Jesus fulfilled that prophetic statement of Zechariah, it says, behold, your King, he is humble and lowly. Jesus, when he introduced himself, says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. I am humble of heart. Jesus taught the low way. But that low way, when lived to the fullest, is the high way. Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the way of a true king. not some pompous monarch sitting on, I guess, a pompous throne, but a slave that can kneel and wash feet. Jesus knew how to go low, and he invites us. Did he not say, you don't know what I've done, but you are to emulate what I have done? And then consider this. He says, as beloved children, we are to imitate him. All of us who have or have had children are very often amused when our kids kind of walk like we walk or say some words we say. Sometimes we wish they wouldn't. And we think it's all really cute. Well, that's what God's after, that we would be like little children, not have to think about this, but just emulate Jesus. Jesus washing feet. See, he's the king. In the world, we would change those two guys around, wouldn't we? We would put Jesus up on the seat and put Peter down low. But it's about Jesus, not Peter. And then you consider he washed the feet of not only all the nice guys, but of someone who would deny him, someone who would betray him. He knew the low way, which was the highway, because it's what delighted the heart of God. So we sing, O come, let us adore him. And as we think about the birth of Jesus, we come like these shepherds. And we bow before the servant shepherd in a cave, not in a castle. And we kneel in the dirt, not on some Persian rug. See, everything about Jesus has a low feel about it. He was born in that little no-account town of Bethlehem. Micah said, it's too small to even be considered amongst the clans of Judah. This is Bethlehem today. And the hills in the back are known as the Shepherd's Hills. And so we still sing, O little town of Bethlehem. When the time came, for Jesus to be born, no place was found to give him. A little privacy for this awesome event, except a dank and dark and smelly cave. You know, we have manger scenes, and they look so nice, don't they? If you want to make them look really appropriate, you know, you got to sprinkle a little straw, a little manure, and then it'll be just right. But we leave that part out. And so we kind of romanticize. And the first to hear the birth announcement wasn't Herod. It wasn't the Sanhedrin. It wasn't the high priest. It were these shepherds out there on the hillside. Shepherds were held in low esteem. They were nobody. They were less than nobody. And yet, I guess I want to mention another thing. These were even the lowest of the low because they were on the night shift. And yet these were the nobodies that God singled out for the privilege of the angelic visitation. They were on the job. And the angels knew where to find them. You might think you're low, but remain faithful and stay at your post. And the other thing about these shepherds that I really like is the fact of the immediacy of their response. They say, we didn't read that far down, but they say, come, let us go right now, even now, and see this thing. They didn't say, oh, well, let's get the good night's sleep. We'll go tomorrow and see if there's anything about it. I mean, after all, Walmart's open till midnight. No, it was, come, let us go, even now, to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. And I'm saying, we need to be that ready. For the Lord is coming. Behold, your King is coming. They were shepherds. I think another interesting thing about these shepherds is that shepherds kind of served two jobs, because there were like two kinds of sheep. There were the sheep that you raised for milk and for meat and for wool. And then there were the really good sheep that you raised for sacrifice. And with Jesus coming, they would lose one of their jobs of raising sheep for sacrifice. I keep pressing the wrong buttons here, I think. I gotta go back. How do you go back? I don't know how you go back. Right click. No. I want last viewed. Okay, that one'll do. Yeah. Okay, this is the supposed place of the cave where Jesus was born. This is called the Church of the Nativity. Of course, it wasn't there then. And it's been built since and has been added to and so on. And then, now I want the next one. And during the Crusades, what did you, let me go back again. Did you see previous? I mean, you see the door over here. Okay. It's low. It's low. And you see it's about half, a quarter of the size of the original door. And those of you who have been to Israel and have visited Bethlehem and been to the Church of the Nativity, you can't walk into the church. You've got to crawl through that door. That door was filled in during the Crusades because the people who ran the church, the priests and monks that were there, come on, you're supposed to behave yourself. Someday I will learn. And so the crusaders on their camels, on their animals, just invaded the church. So they blocked it up to prevent anyone else for that kind of, desecration, I guess. And it's never been opened. And it's become kind of an object lesson that to come to Jesus, you can't just be so arrogant. You got to go low. And so, you know, you can kind of you can crawl through there, or you can sort of, you know, do a crab walk or something. But you can get in there. You can get in there, but you can't walk because. But I certainly think it does serve as a good object to us to come to Jesus. It requires that we kneel low before him. And this is man-made stuff. But it identifies, I mean, I don't even mind that it's man-made because it identifies a historical event. But this is the assumed position of where the manger was. Of course, see, and now I can do that. And this star, it's got glass in it, and if you want to, you can look in it, and you can see the dirt of the cave. But it's pretty dark under there. But, you know, the monks don't mind it because for $2 you could buy a candle. And it's a good... Yes, okay. But it's a good reminder. Many people come here and worship. Worship the Lord. Because it is a real place. A rabbi was once asked this question, why do so few find the Messiah? Why do so few find the Messiah? And his answer was, because so few are willing to go solo. That's why people miss Jesus the first time, isn't it? Because they wanted somebody regal, important, not a servant, not a slave, not somebody born in a barn, to come to Jesus. There's low. I read a little discussion about a Christian that was complaining about how commercialized Christmas had become. And he was in the group that was discussing this was a Muslim who said, your problem is you Christians put your commerce before your God. He was very right, isn't he? Put your commerce before your God. Well, when Jesus came, there was no room for Messiah. But how about now? How about now? We are where the world was when Jesus came the first time. No room. I like some of the articles I've read since Newtown, Connecticut. And especially the question is, why didn't God stop this? And the answer came back pretty clear. God's not allowed in our schools. Of course, we want a God who just ramrods over everything. But that's not what he does. So, there's room for everything but Jesus, seems like. So how about you and me? Do we have room for Jesus? Or do we just sort of greet him through the screen door? When Jesus came the first time, he was not received by his own people. The world that he had created did not acknowledge him. But then there is this good news in the Gospel of John. But to all that did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this is that word of God that became flesh to dwell among us with the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And still he seeks room. Still he seeks room. So the question is, can we go low enough? Can we go low enough to wash the feet of those who may betray us? Who may deny us? I believe that the second chapter of the book of Philippians is kind of Paul's Christmas story. Have this attitude in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Though being found in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming a servant, and humbling himself still further to the point of death. And then what does he say? Have that same attitude. Have that attitude. To humble ourselves, to take the form of a servant, willing to go so low. It's like we're now the innkeepers. And is there room for Jesus? Is there room for Jesus in our play, in our man? Someday. I don't want this, you know. Go through it kind of quick, I suppose. Okay. Leave your hands off. So we are now the innkeeper. I'm still going beyond where I don't want to be, but that's okay. We started where I didn't want to be anyway. But I want us to sing a song before I finish up on this, and it's number 328. So Paul and Gail, if you can come and lead us in that. So don't touch us. I should preach. Go ahead.
Can we all stand, please?
Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore no load of sin. Today we will be celebrating the Lord's table and closing up with a candlelight commitment for the year ahead. And I'd like us to read together this confession. Lo, at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. Here I have learned deep lessons, truth that has set me free. Free from myself, Lord Jesus, free from the ways of men, chains of thought that have bound me, never can bind again. None but thyself, Lord Jesus, conquered this wayward will. But for thy love constraining, I have been wayward still. So we end as we began. Behold the King, Emmanuel. So can we gather around? There's a lot of stuff up here, so maybe start and go around the back. Can we make a circle that way?